Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the very first, real session of Tech Ed. Everyone have a good night last night and enjoy the keynote? Yep. So how many people in here went to the IT Pro plenary keynote? Cool. Everyone enjoy it? Yeah? Now, I don't know about you, but I saw some really cool stuff in there. Just to give you an example, the guys who didn't go, we saw Bluefire migrating virtual machine workloads on the fly through a web interface from VMware to Hyper-V almost instantly. This morning, I caught up with Jeff Alexander, and I said, "Hey, Jeff, was that actually real, or was that smoke and mirrors?" And he said, "No, it is real." I had my doubts. I've seen this stuff before. But if Jeff's telling me it actually is real, I'm going to believe it. It's a really cool time to be an IT pro, isn't it? There's a lot of really cool stuff coming out. And what I'm going to try and show you today is some really cool stuff. I'd like you to go, "Wow, I want to be going home and doing that. That's amazing." So my name is Mark Rhodes. I'm a senior consultant from OBS, and I specialize usually in SharePoint. But as I specialize in SharePoint, I've had a lot of time to work on virtual machine workloads. We use virtual machines a lot. And as such, I've now got, geez, I was using Hyper-V before it came out, in the betas. And I've got a lot of time with it. I've presented quite a few times now on System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2, and I'm really pleased to be able to show you 2012. It's some really cool technology. So before we go on, I'd like to actually explain the title to you because I realize it might be a little bit confusing. So for anyone who has anyone built an operating system onto a server, a laptop, or a desktop from the ground up? From bare metal straight? Yeah, everyone has. Brilliant. We're going to turn bare metal straight out of the factory, no operating system, into silver lining, which is a play on the words, every cloud has a silver lining. Well, in this case, I like to think it really is true. And we're going to do it with VMM 2012. We're going to use the beta, and we're going to do it today. Technology that exists right now that can be downloaded by everyone in this room. So the agenda for today, we're going to talk about what's new in SCVMM 2012. To shorten it, I'm just going to refer to it for the rest of the session as VMM. Keep it easy. I'm going to talk a lot about private clouds. So before we show you what a private cloud is, we've got to define clouds and what a private cloud is. We'll get that out of the way, and then we'll show you cool stuff. We've got a lot of demos to get through. And we've got a few key takeaways. So the real key takeaway, though, is that anyone can do what I'm doing today. So you can all walk out of this session, go back to your offices, and start doing this right now. The weather forecast, cloudy weather's on the horizon. I'm sure everyone in this room has at least heard in the last 24 hours the term cloud 10 or 11 times. Yeah? Yeah, everyone has. Is everyone getting a bit sick of the word cloud? Yep. How many people realize cloud's not really a new technology? Yeah, come on, let's see a show of hands. Who thinks cloud isn't new? Does anyone want to give me an example of another term for cloud? Hosting, yep. Grid computing, utility computing, SaaS, PaaS, infrastructure as a service. You can go back and back and back. And even almost 20 years ago, grid computing was the very first one that was used. Clouds are getting more and more common. And as we see clouds being adopted by things like Apple, by Microsoft, by all of these other companies, consumers are starting to have an expectation that clouds are going to be common. And of course, your CEOs, your CTOs, your CIOs are consumers when they get home. So they're going to take those expectations from home, bring them into the office, and say, "How come we can't do this kind of stuff right now?" And as such, that kind of componentization is really going to drive adoption inside businesses. There's going to be a huge expectation of just off-the-shelf solutions. So everyone should be able to go and say, "I want a virtual server right now." Shouldn't matter who you are, you shouldn't need to be an IT pro to provision it. So the cloud is really about delivering IT as a service, accelerating the speed, lowering the cost of IT while delivering reliable services. And we do that through sharing the actual components. So multiple users or tenants, this is what we're talking about, not a private cloud, but our internet, sharing a bunch of resources. Scalable and elastic. So these things can, balloon out on demand as your use increases or shrink back down. Self-service. So you should be able to go into a web portal and provision whatever you need immediately. And finally, it should be only metered by use. If you're using the cloud, you should only pay for what you use. But what does this mean for a private cloud? It's really the same things, except it's designed for a single organization. It's not shared in any way. For IT pros, this means it's going to be easier for you guys to maintain and manage your systems. For a business, it's going to be much cheaper and easier to deploy. And for a consumer, you've got absolutely no care whatsoever about what the underlying hardware, network, fabric is. You don't need to know that information to deploy it, you just deploy it. And this is really where VMM 2012 comes in. VMM 2012 has a huge amount of investment areas. First off, we've got improvements in deployment. So we've got, finally, high availability on our VMM servers. We've got a really clear upgrade path that works. We have custom properties that can be applied to virtual machines through VMM and surfaced through those virtual machines. And we've got a huge investment in PowerShell to manage your cloud. There's also been a big investment in Fabric. So in that, we've got bare metal provisioning. We've got multiple hypervisors, including now support for Xen. We've got great network management, which is one of the things I'll be concentrating on. Storage management, update management, dynamic optimization, power management, which is really cool. So if you're not using a heap of hosts, you can throttle them down, consolidate everything to minimize the amount of power you've got for a green data center. Cluster management. We also have a whole introduction of a new area called cloud, where we've got application owner usage. So your unit owns the application from, the entire way through its life cycle. We've got capacity and capability management to manage workloads effectively, and we've got delegation and quota, meaning we've got a lot of security built in around the virtual machines, and we can meter out quota as needed. We also have an investment in services. So rather than just in 2008 deploying a single VM, in 2012 we now have the option to deploy a service. So a service might be, say, 6 servers in a web farm. You can deploy that with a click of one button. Very powerful way to put things out there very rapidly. We can also do the same with service templates, application deployment, custom execution, which means we can script very effectively within VMM now. For instance, a good example of that might be you can perform a SQL sysprep. Pretty cool stuff. And we've got image-based servicing, which means we can apply updates to the images rather than patching each of the actual VMs. In this session, we're going to concentrate on these 4 key areas: bare metal provisioning, network management, capacity and capability, and delegation and quota. Now, I didn't really want to do this, but seeing as this is the first VMM 2012 session of TechEd, and it is a 300 session, how many people have actually seen the 2012 console? So only a few people. So I will take you through some of the basics very quickly, just to get everyone up to speed. VMM works on 2008 R2 or R2 SP1 standard enterprise or data center. The database must be SQL Server 2008 SP2 or R2. The library server works on 2008 RTM SP2, 2008 R2, 2008 R2 SP1. The VMM console, pretty much the same specs, so 2008 R2, 2008 R2 SP1, 2008 SP2, and it also allows you to run off Windows 7 because you might want to have that fat client sitting on your desktop. And the self-service portal has to be on the same operating system specs as the VMM server. You need IS7 to run it, and you need to be running IE8 or IE9 to get the benefits out of it. So what I'll do now is I'll take you through a very quick demo of what the actual VMM console looks like. Okay, so I'm on my virtual machine now. Just a quick intro here. This, what I'm actually going to show you, is the VMM infrastructure running TechEd this year. So pretty cool to get a bit of a glimpse behind the scenes, see what's happening. If you want more information, highly recommend going to Ben Parker and David Connor's session on TechEd Backstage. They'll be going into this a bit more. So I'm going to start up the VM console. Takes a little while to run. Keep in mind this is a beta, so when it comes out to RTM, it probably will be quite a bit faster and a little bit less buggy. So everyone having a good time? All right, there we go. So this is the VMM 2012 console. Now, the first thing you're probably going to notice is up at the top here, we've got a ribbon. So everyone's used to the ribbon by now. You've got it in Outlook. You've got it in all of the 2010 Office Suite. So this is a contextual sensitive ribbon too. So if I click on different things, I will get a different looking ribbon. Also down the side here, we've got the five key areas we can work on, which are VMs and services, the fabric, the library, jobs that have recently run, and the settings of the actual VMM server. So what I'm going to do quickly is show you we've also divided this up into clouds and hosts. So within VMM itself, clouds can be considered a logical grouping of computing resources, right? And we'll go into that a bit more as we go through. So what I'll do is I'll expand out clouds, and you can see we've actually got three clouds in here. And by clicking on any of these, such as DemoNet, you can see all of the virtual machines that are in there. Let me just zoom in so you can see it a bit better. So there you go. You can see all of the virtual machines that are running inside this cloud. Now, each of these are actually VMs that are going and running user sessions off in other rooms or whatever. We're not going to touch them, obviously, but these guys can actually service all this information through a web portal so they can start, stop, snapshot their machines and run them as need be. Now, what we'll be doing is concentrating on my cloud, and you can see I've got this one called SEC313 Demo, and I've got a machine called SEC313-Demo-01 that I created about 10 minutes ago. So we're going to be using that later on. We also have a fabric area down here. Now, fabric really covers your servers, your networking, and your storage. So you can see, for instance, that I can go to servers, all hosts, and go to fabric resources, and I can see every actual Hyper-V server that's running there. If I go into overview, we can actually get some metrics around all the hosts in the farm. So we can see what the CPU performance is like. As you can see, it's sitting pretty low. Over on the right-hand side, you can see we've got power management. So we can see how many computing hours we've saved in the last 30 days. If you're trying to run a green data center, that's pretty cool. We can show all of the details of our network and all the details of our storage if we want to. Within this too, we've got not just servers, we've got networking, so we can view logical networks. And if you've got storage management, you can do all of that down in the storage management area. We're not going to touch on that during this session, but I think there are some other sessions that do. We also have a library. Everyone who's used 2008 R2 will be familiar with the library. It's just a place to store VHDs, ISOs, scripts, templates, profiles, everything like that. In this case, we've got a couple of virtual machine templates that are ready to go. That's all we'll really be concerned about for this session. And finally, if we go to jobs, you can see all of the recent jobs that have run. All right. That'll do for that part. What I'd really like to get onto now is bare metal deployment. As I said, this is a deployment, a direct build of an operating system, right, without hands on the server at all, except one little part right at the start. It joins the server to a domain after it's finished building, and it adds the Hyper-V role. Now, how long would it take an IT pro right now to deploy a Hyper-V server? Anyone want to hazard a guess? How many hours?
4 hours.
4 hours? And that'd be probably pretty quick, right? So, you go in, if you build it off WDS, it's not too bad. You could build it off a USB stick or a CD if you're a bit old school. After you've done this through this interface, you don't need to touch the server again. And it takes roughly about 50 minutes. That's pretty cool. So you click next, 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 finished. Off it goes. Go grab a coffee. 50 minutes later, you've got a server on the domain running Hyper-V, and it's ready to accept workloads. So the bare metal deployment requirements, we need a configured management card. So this could be a DRAC if you're on HP, an ILO. Basically, it just has to run IPMI, SMASH, or data center management, DCMI, I think it is, data center management interface. You need to have a pre-configured WDS server, a VMM server, and you need Active Directory, obviously. And you need an install.wim file, which everyone's got off their Windows Server 2008 R2 Media. Running SP1, it has to be as well, I should have added. But you have to convert that WIM file to an actual VHD, which then gets stored in your VMM library. So how does it actually work? We've got a VMM server, a WDS server, bare metal, Active Directory, and the library server down the bottom, which contains our VHDs, drivers, and host profiles. The first thing that's going to happen is VMM starts an out-of-band reboot via the management controller of the bare metal. That'll then pixie boot off the WD server using a Windows PE environment. Sorry, WDS server says, hey, VMM, did you allow this guy to boot up? Can we let him go through? Has he been authorized? If it has, it'll download the Windows PE environment, which is just a customized boot.wim file, really. At that point, WinPE configures all the partitions on the disk to, according with your host profile you set in VMM, it pushes a VHD file out because it's a boot from VHD process. It's not natively installed on the partitions. It also injects any necessary drivers you need. Very easy to do. All you need to do is upload them into your library and tag them. Then customizes the machine, standard sysprep stuff, joins the domain, and enables the Hyper-V role. And just like that, you've got a Hyper-V server. Would anyone like to see this in action? Yeah? Okay, I have to warn you. Now, this process on someone else's kit in a data center 80 kilometers from home, it's pretty risky, right? So what we did was we did this on Sunday. We've recorded it. Most of the rest of the demos are live. This one was a risky one. It's all recorded. And the best thing is I didn't want to show you 50 minutes of a machine loading up, so we sped it up tenfold. Okay. So we're going to... Wrong clicker. Okay, so within the VMM console, we're going to go in and click Add Resources, Hyper-V Hosts and Clusters, and we're going to select from this menu Physical Computer to be provisioned into Hyper-V Hosts. We're going to select a Runners account. Now, this is actually an account that can log into the ILO interface within the HP Blade itself, and we're going to select IPMI. Now, that's only because we haven't loaded the providers for HP. IPMI works for 99% of the cases, so we've gone with that. We're going to enter an IP range. Now, this is the IP of the actual ILO controller. In this case, it's 180.214.72.35. So we've put in 34 and 36, so let's scan that range. And very quickly, you see it's actually discovered and logged into the ILO controller to make sure our credentials are valid. So we're going to select that and click Next. Now, as you notice, it's a tick box. So if we had 20 blades we wanted to provision, there'd be no problem to just go Select All. We're going to select the location, all hosts, and we're going to make sure the host profile is HP Blade, which is a profile I set up a little bit earlier. And then we're going to go on and click Next. Now, at this point, the only setting we need is a computer name. And in this case, we put in E2B6 for Enclosure 2 Blade 6. And it's saying the OS deployment on the selected Hyper-V host required the MAC address of an existing NIC that is accessible by VMM. If said NIC is not accessible or does not exist, the deployment might fail. The specified computer names must be unique and not correspond to existing machines. So basically what it's saying is, at some point, this is actually a little bit of a bug, but if you do this and you try to provision without with DHCP, right, it's a bug. This should never show up. If you try and provision with a static IP address, it tries to link a MAC address right, on the NIC and provision an IP address to the NIC that owns that MAC address. And that's just to identify if you've got, say, 6 NICs in your actual server. So we're going to click OK and ignore that and go ahead. And first thing you can see is this machine sitting here. It's in a PE environment. That's actually just a pause deployment. But what we're going to see in a minute is this get rebooted and this go through a build. So this is me connecting directly to the Blade through the remote console of the ILO interface, just to show you what's happening. So let's click Finish. And first thing you can see is saying creating a new host from physical machine. So it's already gone ahead and it's issued the reboot command. It's very quick. And down the bottom here, you can see we're doing the post. HPs do take quite a while to post. So we're booting up. Now, these HP Blades, if you get a chance, go and have a look at them down in the demo area. They're very cool, very fast kit. I was very impressed how well they went. So now you can see Windows is actually booted up, and it's downloading a boot.wim, a Windows PE environment. And this is a specialized VMM PE environment it's downloading. It's initializing, injected a whole heap of drivers necessary to get going, and it's configured the disk. Now it's transferring the VHD file straight from the VMM library directly onto one of the partitions, because it is, as I said, going to boot from that VHD. You can see what's actually happening in here, and the file is out being deployed. Now keep in mind, this is a fairly big VHD file, and I have sped it up tenfold, but this process took about 10 minutes. It's fairly quick. It's just injected the drivers too. As I said, those are stored in the library and tagged. That's all you have to do to inject a driver. It's much easier driver management. It's now rebooting the server after deploying the operating system. It's much more fun watching this when you don't have to sit there for half an hour. And we're going through another reboot. We're just doing the standard, you know, post-sysprep preparation stuff. And like that, the server's actually built. Now what it's going to do is install a VMM agent and then install the Hyper-V role. And you can see it's done that quite quickly. Now you can see the machine there. Oh, that shouldn't be running that fast. Sorry about that. I won't try and take you through that. So all you need to know from that point, though, is that the machine E2B6, which was the blade we named earlier, is now in VMM, and you can see it's had Hyper-V provisioned on it. Obviously, if it's gotten to this point, it's part of the domain. Who thinks that's pretty impressive? Anyone? Yeah? So, is that quicker than how you provision bare metal right now? Yeah? And it's nice to be able to do it through a single pane of glass, not have to go to WDS, not have to load a USB stick. I like it just from the injection of driver's point of view. It's very quick and easy. Yes, it is. Yeah. If you have a problem with boot to VHD, I can understand why some people would. A lot of people don't like, you know, containerizing the whole operating system for a server. There is a minor performance hit on that, apparently. I've yet to see it. I've got servers running, you know, VHD file boot, and I've got servers running, you know, native, and I can't tell the difference, to be honest. No, it doesn't. So if you wanted to put MPIO on, no problem. You could actually script all of that. You could put the flyover clustering role in as well. When you do a host profile, an operating system profile, you can select things like any roles you want to install, and it will install those for you. The configuration of that, though, I think clustering is probably too complicated to do through an interface like this. That's just my take. So even now, I'll show you in a minute adding a cluster to VMM. But I think it's too complicated to do. You know, there's too many things that could go wrong with it. So you're better off adding the cluster first and then adding that cluster into VMM, in my opinion. Sorry? We are, yeah. That's a tough one. I mean, it's probably the next level up from this. So keep in mind, there still is beta. There might be some new stuff that we haven't seen yet coming out in RTM. I'd love it if you could provision a cluster from start to end, but I think it is, at this stage, too complicated. Yes? Yes, it can. Yep. I'll get you to ask that question again at the end. One of the questions I get a lot, and I've got a few frequently asked questions, is why wouldn't you just use SCCM? So I'll try to address that at the end. Okay. All right. So as you saw from my very quick demo then, a little bit too fast, the VMM introduces the concept of fabric. Now, has everyone in here heard of Fabric before? know, we're talking about a SAN, say, you know, that's very common there, or network fabric. VMM's really embraced this, and everything from servers to storage to networking are now included in your fabric. And it's all managed from a central location, which makes it just fantastic for people like me. I love the idea of being able to manage a network, and it was one of the shortcomings of VMM 2008, in my opinion. So storage fabric gives you storage management. It means you can directly assign LUNs to hosts and clusters without having to go into storage management interfaces, and it gives you rapid provisioning via snap LUN cloning, which is very cool stuff to have. It is a bit of setup time, but hopefully there'll be another session somewhere around here with people talking directly about this, because it's not an entire session on its own. Server fabric. As I said, it allows multiple hypervisors, so we've got full support for Hyper-V, VMM, and Zen Server. It gives you pretty much full hardware management all the way through the life cycle, and it gives you full host provisioning. Okay, so what I'm going to show you now is a demonstration of server fabric, and what we're going to do is we're going to add a cluster into the TechEd network. So this is actually one of the clusters that the showcase demos are running off. So if we go into the VMM console, we're going to make sure we're on the fabric resources area, and we're going to tick add host and clusters. This time, though, we're going to go Windows computers on a trusted Active Directory domain. We're going to quickly enter my credentials, in this case, just my username, cloud/mark.rhodes, and my password, I'm not going to tell you that one. And we're going to specify an Active Directory query to search Windows servers. Now, I know that all the servers in this case start with the letter E, so I'm just going to enter E and do a search. And straight away you can see all of the machines that have not yet been added into VMM. So in this case we're going to select showcasecl1.cloud.auteched.net and click Next, which will add in both of those hosts and the cluster and its management. We're going to add it into the All Host group. We're going to tick Reassociate this host with this VMM console, and we're going to click Next. All the settings are there. Let's click Go. So the first thing you'll probably notice is it's adding each host individually into the system. So all it does there is install the VMM agent, make sure it's not associated with any other host, or if it is, reassociate it, install the Hyper-V role if it's not already, and then do a refresh of the actual host. And then we'll do a refresh host cluster to make sure it's all good. And just like that, you can see Showcase CL1 has been added in, and we've already got some statistics on it that are coming up through the overview tab. And you can see that we've also loaded in all the VMs that are actually running on that. And we can see on the overview tab here, CPU performance, and if we scroll down, amount of memory being used, network utilization, and storage utilization, which is pretty cool information to have at a glance. Okay. So it was nice and easy to add that cluster in, I think. That was the last of our recorded demos. Everything from this point onwards is live. So now let's talk about network fabric. VMM has the concept now of logical networks. A logical network is exactly what you think it is. It's a network segment. So for instance, in this case, we used the entire network segment of TechEd, which is a very large segment, obviously, and we loaded that entire thing into VMM. Now, that's just a placeholder or something that says, hey, this actually exists. When you do that, it doesn't create the networks, it just holds it. It also gives you an address management area for static IPs, load balance VIPs, MAC addresses if you want to pull your MAC addresses. Gives you automated provision of load balancing. And if you've got an F5 or a brocade or anything like that, it's got some really cool automated provisioning stuff you can do. So you can do automatic provision of your load balancers. So network address allocation is probably the most important part of a private cloud, to be honest. Because if you're giving addresses out to users, they need to be able to get to those machines without the address changing on a lease like DHCP does. So VMM now introduces an allocation, and we'll go through and set up an allocation in a minute. What essentially is a range of IPs that can be provisioned to at any moment, managed by VMM, and allocated off and assigned. So at any time you can see who owns an address, or you know which machine has what address very easily in one place. It's a static IP allocation. It works with both IPv4 and IPv6, which is very cool, and it requires an OS template on deployment. That's the only way it's going to work. So let's go through and configure some network fabric. All right, we'll close that. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is jump back into the VM console, go to the fabric tab, and let me just shrink that. We're going to go down to networking, logical networks. Now, what you're seeing there is an overview of the actual networks. If we go into fabric resources, you can see that we've already got one network in there called the TechEd IPv4 network. And if we expand that out, you can see that is a /21 range. So that is quite a few IPs in there. And in that, we've actually got an allocation of 5 of IP addresses that we can provision to. Now, these are internet routable IP addresses. These aren't just, you know, internal IPs. And we can see that we've obviously provisioned one machine as it's down now to 4. What we're going to do is we're going to create a new logical network, and we're going to do that by clicking up here in the corner and going create logical network. We'll enter the name of SEC313-LN2, logical network 2, and click OK. Now you can see now it's created that logical network here, but it's got nothing else on it. So what we're going to do is click on that and create a network definition. And first thing we're going to do is scope it only to the bare metal host. So that's the host that we provisioned 2 steps ago. And click Next. Then we're going to enter an IP subnet, which in this case we're going to use IPv6. So we've got 2001, oh, I'll just zoom in, it's easier. There we go. And we're going to enter the VLAN ID of 1300, which is the TechEd VLAN. And click Next. And just like that, we've created network definition. Now, as I said, we haven't actually created a network. We've just created a container that mimics the subnet. If we go back here now, we can see we still don't have all the things we need. We've got the allocation. What we need now is an IP pool. So we'll go ahead and create an IP pool. Now, that's a rather large pool, and this is the smallest pool I could get, 65,000 IPs. We're going to limit the actual pool to only 5 IPs, and we're going to do that by putting 165 here and 169 there, and you can see the allocation's gone down to 5. We'll click Next. Oh, sorry. So I'm just calling it SEC313 IPv6 range. I'm not going to reserve any VIPs or reserved IPs. I don't think we need it with only 5 in the allocation. I'm going to put in a gateway, otherwise they're not going to be able to communicate. So we've just got a gateway of 1 in there. Click Next. I probably provisioned it wrong, I'm sorry. Oh no, I've had a demo fail. I shouldn't need it at this point, so we should be able to just enter 1 at that point. So as you see, oh, I don't have it in here, that's why. Thank you. Hold on a sec. I'm just going to go back and quickly redo that. I'm sorry, guys. Create definition. This is one of the problems with V6. There we go. That worked a bit better that time. And I'm going to put in the DNS of... Hopefully I got that right. I didn't. And we're going to put in the DNS suffix of cloud.auteched.net. So now I've got DNS servers, I've got a DNS suffix, everything we need for DNS information to work. Click Next. And you can see we've got a range of 5 IPs on the subnet. I'm not even going to read that out. On the DNS suffix, cloud.auteched.net, 1 gateway, 2 DNS servers. Click Finish. And, yep, it's completed successfully. So now, if we expand this out, and we look down here, you can see we've now got 5 available IP addresses and the begin and end address. Okay, so that's provisioning a logical network on VMM. Okay, so with VMM 2012 and private clouds, a private cloud definition here really is, it's a pool of resources to consume. So it doesn't matter where those resources are as far as the end user is concerned, as long as there are resources out there they can consume. It's self-service for very fast and very convenient provisioning through a web interface. We'll go through that as the final demonstration. And the offering, as I said, is not just limited to single servers. We can actually do an entire service framework in the same manner we would provision a single VM. So let's go and create a private cloud. Now, out of curiosity, how long does everyone think it would take to create a private cloud? Can someone give me an estimate here? Don't make me call out the people I know in the audience. I'll do it. Sorry? An hour? Yeah. I can provision a private cloud and demonstrate it to you in under 90 seconds. No joke. That's how easy it is. So let's go and do that. Okay, we're going to go back to the VMs and services area, and we're going to click on Create Cloud. Nice, easy icon everyone can get access to if you're an administrator. And we're going to put SEC 313 Demo 2. We're going to select only the bare metal host. Now, you can see on this bare metal host, I've got quite a bit of resources, 180 gig of storage and 96 gig of RAM. So I'm going to select that and click Next. It's going to ask me which logical networks... Oops, sorry, I've missed a step in the last bit. Let me quickly go and do that. So before we use the logical network, we actually need to assign it to the server fabric. And that's a step I almost missed there, which could have been interesting. If we go over to the host and we find my bare metal host, which is E1B2. Better check that. E2B6. And we go to the properties. Sorry, wrong one. Since I've done this last demo, there's been quite a few hosts added by the guys running TechEd. Okay, we're going to go to the hardware tab. We're going to find the network adapter. In this case, we know there's 2 network adapters, one running the management system, right? And we can see the IP address, so that's probably it. It's just an access port. And the other one, which is a trunk port. So this is obviously hit here as it's connected and it doesn't have an IP address. We're going to allow it the SEC 313 LN2 network. So we're going to click OK. And we're going to go over to the Advanced tab and just make sure the allocation is actually visible in there, which it is. We'll click OK, and we'll click OK. And the status there now says over here, SEC 313 LN2, and no compliance errors, which is exactly what you want to see. So if we go back now, we click Create Cloud, we'll say SEC 313 Demo 2. We'll take the bare metal host as resources, and now we can actually see the logical network there and assign it. We're not going to add any load balancers or VIP profiles or storage. We're going to put in just the default path here in the library so we can access it. So that's the SEC 313 path within the library. And we're going to add the VMM library as a read-only share so we can access any ISOs, scripts, whatever's stored in that library. We'll click Next. Now, for capacity, I've got 96 gig of RAM on this server, but I obviously want to reserve a little bit for my operating system. So what I'm going to do is throttle back this cloud to, say, 92 gig of RAM. And if I wanted to, I could throttle back the number of virtual machines, the number of virtual CPUs, storage, and also custom quota points, which anyone using 2008 R2 will be familiar with. That's now legacy. You don't need that for your resource management, but it's still in there for back compatibility if you need it. And we're going to select Hyper-V as our capability profile. Now, there is one other step we need to do before we can provision anything on this, so I'm just going to quickly do that now, and that's I'm going to go and change my my Windows Server 2008 R2 template. This is the one where I deploy when I deploy machines within my cloud, and I'm going to change it so I can use IPv6 and the new logical network I assigned. So go into hardware configuration quickly, go to the network adapter, and I'm going to change the logical network to the new logical network I created, and I'm going to change the IP address to IPv6 only, and click OK. Nice and easy. So there you saw how easy, in between two other demos, how easy it is to create a private cloud. Did anyone expect it was going to be that easy? No. One person. Have you seen this before? Okay, there we go. It really is that easy. So I'd like to think that just about anyone could go away and do that any time. Okay. Now, before we can actually go and use a private cloud, we need to have some security and governance around it. And that comes in the form of something called user roles in 2012. User roles define all the security across VMM. Users can belong to multiple roles. For instance, you can be an administrator, a consumer, a super user, read-only, whatever you like. And the best thing is roles can be used to restrict access and resources. So you can say you can only access this template. You can't create your own machines. You can only start, stop, and checkpoint your machines. So there's a lot of granular control you can do on these. So let's go through the user roles and the scopes. The first one is the VMM admin role. This is the default out-of-the-box role, and it contains your administrators for the VMM platform. Then we have delegated administrator. Now, this can have almost identical permissions to the administrator. The only thing a delegated admin can't do is add users to the administrator group. We then have the next level down, which is read-only admin. This is perfect for your auditors, basically. They come in, they can see everything that's happening, but they can't change a single setting. And then we've got your self-service role. What that means is you've got restricted access to what you can actually do on each VM, and I'll take you through those actions in a second. Self-service really comes down to fine-grained control of all the actions. It gives you quota and capacity, so you can say you can only have one virtual machine and only 4 gig of RAM. That's all you've got to play with. And we can actually set different quota dimensions. So these are all the actions that a self-service user can do. We can author, share, receive, deploy, and VHD. We can start, stop, shut down. We can save, we can store, which means store in the library. We can deploy a template file out of the library. We can pause and resume a VM. We get local admin, and we can remotely connect to it, and we can checkpoint it, which is the same as a snapshot. These are the actions that are available only within the self-service web portal. So you see, you can't author, which means you can't deploy a machine without a template. You can't share a machine or receive a machine with other users. And you can't deploy a VHD, that's a machine without a template. So in terms of resourcing and quota, I'm going to show you two examples here. As you go left to right, obviously we've got CPU, in this case virtual CPU, memory allocation, storage allocation, and number of virtual machines. So user one might be a low-demand user role, such as an entry-level developer, a junior developer. He'll have 4 vCPUs, he'll have 16 gig of RAM, 250 gig of storage, and 2 virtual machines that he can allocate at any time. A high-demand user role might be unlimited CPUs, unlimited RAM, 250 gig of storage, and unlimited virtual machines. And it's very easy to control exactly how much that is. We do that through quota levels. So if we look at the cloud is the highest level of quota level we can assign. We might say we've got unlimited virtual CPUs assigned at the cloud level, 96 gig of RAM assigned at the cloud level, 2.5 terabytes of storage assigned, and an unlimited number of VMs. So that's the hard limit of how that cloud can go, no matter how many users are trying to provision. Under that subset, we'll have the role itself. So a role might be administrators. That's a bad example. A role might be power users. And those power users might have unlimited virtual CPUs, access to only half of the machine's RAM, so 48 gigabytes between them, access to half of the storage, so 1.25 terabytes, and a maximum of 10 VMs provision. The instant they hit any of these, they won't be able to provision past those barriers. And we can also assign user levels. So within that role, we might have 10 users, right? We'll assign two virtual CPUs, 8 gig of RAM, 250 gigs of storage, and two virtual machines, which means if we have a role of our power users and we've got 10 users in there, and the first five users go and provision two virtual machines each, the next user that comes in is always not going to be able to provision. Even though he's got user quota available, his role quota has been exceeded. That's a pretty cool way to restrict resources to a team, isn't it? You know, if you've got a team of developers who need virtual machines very quickly, you can say, guys, as a team, this is exactly how much resource you can have because you've got to share this server with another team. So let's go through quickly configuring a couple of user roles. Okay, we're going to go over the settings pane and we're going to click Create User Role. What we're going to do is call this one SEC313 Administrator Role, as in we're administering the SEC313 Demo 2 Cloud. We're going to change the profile here, because we've got a few, to Self-Service User. And we're going to add just myself in for now, so mark.rhodes. And we're going to give it access to both of these clouds. So you can see we've got SEC313 Demo 1, which is an IPv4 cloud, and SEC313 Demo 2, which is an IPv6 cloud. We won't give it access to Showcase or DemoNet, because that could impact the rest of your TechEd experience. Okay, we're going to set no quotas on this one. We're just going to leave it as an administrator role. We want it to create whatever it needs to. And we're going to do that. You'll notice we were able to set quotas at both cloud levels. So you can set a granular quota at each cloud for a role or a user. We're going to add in a few resources here. So we're going to add the Windows Server 2008 R2 Enterprise template. We'll also add in the blank virtual machine template. And we'll give this guy access to a path we can upload whatever he likes. There we go. Now, here are all the actions that the guys can in this group can actually touch. So in this case, we're just going to select all. Click next. We're not going to create a runner's profile because we don't need it. And we're going to finish. So you can see we've got all of the settings here that we need to go and do this. So create user role has been successful. We'll create another role. And this time we'll call it SEC313 consumer role. And obviously this is not going to have the same level of permissions that the other role had. And as I said, users can belong to multiple roles, so I'm adding myself into this one again. We'll scope this one only to the Demo 2 cloud, right? We don't want it accessing the Demo 1 IPv4 cloud. And we're going to restrict its role and user level quota. So we'll change this down to 24 gig of RAM. And we will change the user level quota down to 12 gig of RAM and one virtual machine. And we'll give it access to only the Windows Server 2008 R2 Enterprise template. We won't give it a path to upload to because he doesn't need it. And we'll give him control of all actions as well, because if you're in this console, you might as well be seeing everything. And we'll click next and finish. So that's gone through and created that other role. Okay. Sorry, say that again. Yes, it does. Anything you can see in this console is actually just generating a PowerShell script and executing it. Okay. This is the most powerful feature of VMM 2012. With VMM 2012, if you can use a web browser, let's see it. Who can use a web browser? Come on, everyone. Yep. Is there anyone raising a hand for not using a web browser? One person. It's all right. You can even do this via your phone, as long as it supports IE8 or IE9. I know a phone that does. if you can use a web browser, you can provision a virtual machine. I guarantee it, it's that easy. So the self-service portal hides technical complexity from your end users. They don't need to know resourcing, they don't need to know about the hosts, all they need to know is that they can provision a virtual machine and it will go into a cloud. It simplifies your management and it really does reduce your training costs. It's going to reduce your overheads in terms of, you know, IT pro costs as well. And I know that it's a bit scary to have the idea that IT pros aren't going to be needed as much. Trust me, it frees you up for much more interesting work. And it gives you rapid, very easy deployment of servers and services. So let's go and see the self-service portal. Okay, I'm going to minimize VMM now and just go to the VMM 2012 self-service portal and enter cloud/mark.roads. This is the self-service portal. So as you can see up the top, you've got computers and library, pretty straightforward. You've got a list view and a thumbnail view, again, pretty straightforward. And on the right-hand side, you've got the actions you can do. So you've got new computer, start, stop, pause, shutdown, checkpoints, properties, store, etc. Up the top, you'll notice we've got change role. So if we've got multiple roles, we can change between clouds, we can change between roles very easily. Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to provision a new machine. So I'm going to click New Computer. I'm going to select... I'm going to change my role to Consumer first. So I've clicked Change Role. I'm going to change the role down here to Sec313 Consumer, and then my username and password. Okay, now you can see I've got no machines in there, so I'm going to go ahead and provision a machine. So I'm going to click New Computer. I'm going to add in Sec313. Sorry, before I do that, I'm going to make sure I'm only on the Demo2 cloud. So at the top here, you can see Demo2 cloud and the Windows Server 2008 templates that we assigned earlier. And Demo-02, Sec313, Demo-02. So I've entered a name for the virtual machine, a name for the computer that will be applied through SysPrep, and an administrator password. You can set it to wildcard or enter. I haven't fiddled around to see if you can customize it more than that, but if you can set a wildcard, I'd assume you could go, say, put a prefix wildcard if you wanted to, or something like that, yeah. And we're going to click Create. So now it's saying the virtual machine was successfully created. Now, does everyone agree with me that that could be done by any user inside your organization? Actually, no, everyone's got an example of one user who wouldn't be able to do that. Everyone agree with me that that would be able to be done by 99% of users inside your organization? Yep, fantastic. Do we have any government people here? No, I'm just kidding, it's all right. Okay, and you can see now that that machine's off and creating. If we go click on it and then go over to properties, you can see we've got a summary, we've got media, so in the media tab, if we wanted to, we could load up an ISO file, and we've got the latest job that's running. In this case, it's going to be provisioning the machine. And you can see it's provisioning. So it's already done 1.45 gig of 6 gig of the image. So this is actually a pretty snappy network. If anyone's used Bits before, the protocol, which I assume most of you had from the nods, you know it's not a quick protocol. You can tell just how fast the kid is downstairs by how fast Bits goes. It screams along. Okay, and you can see it's already done, while I've been talking, almost another gig. So now, what I'd like to do is try and provision a second machine. So I'm going to call this one Sec313Demo-03. Now, if you remember, in the quota, I said that this user can only provision one virtual machine. So when I click Create, it's come with this, saying, the operation results in a violation of the virtual machine count quota for cloud Sec313Demo2 for the user role Sec313Consumer role for the user cloud/mark.roads. This operation results in a violation of the memory usage quota for the same. So your users are getting an error message they should be able to understand, or at least can go to administrator and say... Okay, the users are getting an error message they can take back to an IT pro, which keeps you all in a job. So we're going to click OK, and what we're going to do is change role over to the administrator role. Sorry, say that again. You can still use it. It's legacy from 2008 R2. So might say that one at the end if that's all right. Cool. So I'm going to go up here and click change role again. And this time I'm going to pick the administrator role. Okay, click new computer. This time I'm just going to provision a different machine, which is a bit of a quicker one to provision. We'll call it SEC 31303. Now I can't enter a computer name, admin, password or product key there because this is just a blank virtual machine that's not a template. I mean, it is a template, but it's not a sysprep template. So I can't use it to do the sysprep information. So if I click create, and we should be able to see exactly what's happening here. In theory. Okay, it's already finished. So if we go ahead, and what we can do here is, notice the store button down here. So we're obviously able with this user to get past the quota limitations, right, that the other user had. What we can do with this user is we can store this virtual machine in the library very quickly, which removes it from your resource allocation. So if I click store, there we go, it's under migration. Okay, and you can see it's now existing in the actual VMM library, ready for an administrator to archive it off if need be. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is, because this process takes about 20 minutes roughly, between bits and sysprep, you just can't get that much speed out of it unless you've got something like the snap LAN cloning, LUN cloning. That's the only way you can really speed this up, but the sysprep still takes time, right? So what I've done is right before this session, I click create on another one that is visible in another role in a different cloud. And hopefully by the end I can go back and show you the other VM finished, but just in case. So what we're going to do is we're going to log into the SEC313 Super Administrator account. And you can see SEC313 is in there and it was deployed 31st of the 8th, 2011. It's obviously today. If we jump back to VMM quickly, go to jobs and type in SEC313. Okay, so it's 7:59. Can everyone see that? 7:59, so right before this session, I click create. It takes about 20 minutes, so when you guys were walking in here, this machine was off and creating. So what we're going to do is we're going to start it for the first time. So this machine's never been started. We're going to click start. And then we're going to press connect to VM. Oh no. Hold on a sec. I know exactly why that's happening. Okay. All right. It looks like in the last 24 hours, some settings have been changed on the server. I think that's one of the downsides of using production kit to demonstrate. But let's try it again. Let's see if we can get to it this way. Yep. Is that still inside a virtual machine or not? Yes, it is. Okay, so Okay, and with any luck, I've got this component installed. Now, this is because I'm off the domain I'm getting prompted, so please ignore that. And the machine's obviously booted. If we send through a Control-Alt-Delete, you'll notice down in the bottom right-hand corner, we've got two buttons, Send Control-Alt-Delete and Reconnect. So very simple to log on to the server. And we'll enter a password, which we specified earlier. And just like that, we've loaded up a virtual machine. Now, that's a pretty cool, simple process, right, for everyone to do. What I'd like to show you is if you look here under local area connection, you can see we've actually got 180.214.75.165. That's a public IPv4 address from the IPv4 allocation we... You guys should be next door. from the allocation we had earlier. So we could actually RDP straight to that machine. Maybe we should. So 180.214.75.165. Sorry, I just realised that's the wrong one. It's this machine in particular. It's a VM, is not joined to the domain, but it could have been if we'd set up the template. So I could access this from anywhere in the world right now, and we provisioned it without having to set any IP addresses, without any IT pro involvement. That's pretty cool. What we'll do is we'll jump back into the VMM console. We'll go to the Fabric tab, and we're going to go to Fabric Resources, and we're going to open up the IPv4 network, drill right down, and you can see that we've got four available address, meaning one's been allocated. If we change up here to the virtual machines context, and we find my particular virtual machine, which, you know, sec 313, maybe I didn't type that right. It's obvious, it must be a bug with the search if that didn't come up, but it's good to know. Okay, you can see down the bottom here, it's telling us the IP address is 180.214.75.165. And if we want to make this even easier, by right-clicking up here, we can add in the VLAN, the IP address, and the IP pool. So you can see very easily now we've been able to identify which machine's using which IP address. We can also get this information out another way, which is via PowerShell. So if I open up that console, I type in get-sc-ip-address. It's going to return back each of the IP address allocations. In this case, you can see, let me zoom in on that for you. You can see quite clearly that an IPv6 allocation was just done when we provisioned that machine not long ago. So let's just see if we change role back to the consumer role. Let's see if our machine's finished. Yes, it's finished. So let's start it up. So everyone remember this is one we provisioned not long ago? Sorry. You know what? I'm going to do it over here because we had those issues before. So change role. It's already running, and there we go, just finished booting. So this is a machine we only provisioned a little while ago. And hopefully we'll be able to see that it's set a static IPv6 allocation. So let's go have a look under Configure Networking. IPv6. And there you have it. So we provisioned that off. And just to prove that the actual network's all working as expected, so straight away, we've got SEC313 turn bare metal into silver lining. So we started off this session with a bare metal host. We're now browsing the web from a VM we created in this session that's internet accessible on an IPv6 network. And we did it today with software out there. So I think we've pretty much delivered on the session title. What do you guys think? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to swap back to the slide deck just for a moment. Just hold it for 1 minute, if that's all right. Yep. Okay. So the key takeaways here, as we reach the end of the session. One, private cloud is within the reach of most IT administrators right now. Does everyone in this session agree they could have done that from start to finish fairly easily? Yep. Anyone interested in going home and giving that a try now? Yeah, cool. Two, self-service is now convenient and accessible for almost anyone, as we said. And three, it's intuitive and easy to deploy, set up, and manage. Just to clarify that too, we've put this in production where I work at OBS, and I've had very few people ask me for help around the self-service portal. Everyone's been able to figure it out. It's very nice, very easy to use. But yeah, it's intuitive, it's easy to set up and deploy, and most importantly for you guys, manage. Thank you very much. I hope this has been informative, and we're going to go to a Q&A, but before that, don't forget, complete session evaluations, good chance to win a touch mouse, and something about a QR code that haven't really paid attention to. So, But let's go back to Q&A. So the first thing, the three frequently asked questions. One, well, when will SCVMM go to RTM? Answer is, I don't know. It's going to be 2012, so it's not for a little while yet. My best guess is Q1. Can I upgrade from the release candidate, so the beta that we're running there? Yes, absolutely, full upgrade path from 2008 to the release candidate to RTM, all completely supported, very easy to do. And are there any bugs in the release candidate? Yes, there are a few. The most notable one that you're going to come across is if you add in a Hyper-V host, and it doesn't always happen, it only happens some of the time. If you add in a Hyper-V host and it's already got VMs on it and those machines are in a stopped state, when you try to view the properties, the console crashes. Something to be aware of, it's very easy to fix. You just have to, well, the easiest way to do it is to export and re-import the virtual machine, but you can do it via PowerShell. Feel free to email me or follow me on Twitter, whatever, and I'll tell you how to do it. So I'd like to open the floor to questions, please. Yes? Can you have a subcloud? And delegate to can you have subclouds, you're asking? Yep. 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 Yeah, there is actually. But what you have to do, so the question is, can you have administrators accessing every single cloud without having to assign them to every single cloud? Is that right? Yep, so what you do is you create a parent cloud and assign the permissions there and create every other cloud as a subcloud on that, so a child cloud, and by that they inherit the permission set, so that would accomplish that. Any other questions? Yes? No, it's actually much better, even in beta. So I've left it running for a few weeks just to see what happens, and it got up to 700 meg of memory in use, and that's the highest it ever went. So I guess arguably, yeah, that is a lot of memory. But it doesn't seem to go above that at any point. And there is an awful lot of information in that console. All the historical data gets stored in memory. Any other question? Yes?
Thanks, Chad. With the IP pools, is it possible to use that as some type of security context?
Sorry, say that again?
So do you know how you have the static IP pools and they allocated and they provisioned? Is there some underlying thing that we can use those pools as some type of security context? So two pools in the same network segment, but they can't talk to each other.
Well,
that's isolation.
Yeah, that's really a networking question, because the networking has to pre-exist before going into VMM.
Yeah, that I understand sense. That. I'm just wondering if the actual
you could assign,
VMM you know, yeah. technology had that ability. So technically, yeah, they're routable, but it's yep. it's not going to let that traffic across.
No, because, I get what you're saying. Yeah. What I'd do in that case is on each of the templates, you could actually assign a range, right? So you could say that only these users had access to this template and only that template had access to this range. Yeah. So you could do it that way. But yeah, I think that's a very valid question. Hopefully, it'll be addressed by... Yeah, RTM.
Yeah, because the main reason for it is I'm at Frontline. We're trying to build like a shared infrastructure cloud for external people, and we don't want to set up hundreds and hundreds of VLANs. It gets pretty annoying, but we want them to route out. So there's a common gateway that we want them to access, especially with V6. It's easy, but we just want to have pools of 1,000 all in a couple of the same segment.
Trying to think the best way you can do that. Maybe we'll have a chat after this.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, yes. Sorry, say that again. If thing. The question was, seeing we're actually controlling the server fabric, could we boot from a LUN rather than? Yep. Yep. So could we boot from the LUN during the bare metal? You know, it's possible. You'd have to inject all of your SAN and HBA drivers and things like that into your boot PE environment so it can actually see that storage. You'd have to also inject it into the actual VHD file it's pushed, but I don't see any reason why not. I haven't tried, but yeah, there shouldn't be any reason why not. You can definitely assign a LUN at that process, so yeah, let's go with yes. Any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned it earlier on. Why not use Configuration Manager?
Yes, why not use Configuration Manager? Because Configuration Manager doesn't offer this single pane of glass end-to-end for management of your virtualization hosts. You can deploy an operating system, but can you manage your virtual machines in System Center? Not really. No. But by that same token, what you could do is, you could use SCCM to do your bare metal deployment. You could use SCCM to actually deploy operating systems to the virtual machines. But this is a full end-to-end solution. A better question, slightly, might be, why wouldn't you use something like Orchestrator to do this? The System Center stuff they showed in the keynote. It's all using the same technology behind the scenes. Right, so this is the cheaper option, I guess. So you can deploy this without having to pay for another license. Any other questions? Yes. Oh, that's a tough one. Does anyone know if you can deploy ESX from WinPE? I don't think you can you, through WDS? No? Who said no? There we go. Yeah, I don't think you can. Not out of the box. I mean, probably with a lot of work you could, but... yeah, that's right. Yeah, so unless you could figure out a way to actually push your whole hypervisor out, I don't know how you do it, to be honest. Yeah, I can tell you that while the bare metal stuff probably doesn't work with that, the rest of it does work with ESX quite well. So you can do the same create to cloud technology. So you self-service portal can create machines in ESX the same way. Any other questions? Yes. I don't think the self-service portal is particularly customizable. For those of you who don't know, the self-service portal has gone through a few generations. So there was originally the self-service portal, which you couldn't connect to VMs with it. If you were off the domain, it made it really quite frustrating. And the VM also had to be on the domain as well as the host for it all to work. This one's a huge step forward. So connect to VM works anywhere as it connects to the host. It doesn't connect to the VM. There was an intermediate step called the SSP V2. So the Self-Service Portal 2.0, which was a custom thing released, that was extremely customizable, but the downside was it was very, very difficult to deploy. As this is all running PowerShell behind the scenes, if you could create something that will create those PowerShell scripts, you could probably do it. If you're a good developer, you could probably just grab the classes and write something directly against it. I'm not, really not. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
Right,
That's easy, yeah. There's CSS and images that you can just modify very easily. I've done it before. Yeah. All right, I think we're just about out of time. Thank you very much, guys. You've been fantastic. I hope you learned something about VMM. And if you see me around during the conference, I generally wear a hat. So come and talk to me. Ask me questions. Feel free, now that we're off the record, to ask me anything about ESX. So thank you very much.